ears to hear. It's important that we hear that still, small voice. Oh God, you are even looking for a people, Lord, that would fellowship with you and praise you and spend time with you. Lord, that you can love on God. I thank you, Lord, that you care about even the little things about us that are different. Everybody's different, God. Even our fingerprints are different. And Lord, I thank you that even the special attributes that we have, Lord, you know those, and you give attention to those, and you love us where we are and who we are, God. We thank you for that, Lord. Lord, as I speak, speak through me. Lord, this crowd don't want to hear me, but Lord, they want to hear you through me. Lord, I want to be a willing vessel. I want to be a clean vessel. Lord, I want to be an anointed vessel, Lord. I want the anointing to flow so, Lord, that it will destroy the yoke that binds us and keeps us, Lord, from hearing, seeing, and doing what the will of the Lord is for this day and for this hour. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. We worship you, Lord, and we thank you in advance, God. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, we love you. You're welcome here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was in this room 1 year ago, and I had to have a chair to sit down in. I had gone through 5 years of one illness after another, after another. I had 15 diseases during a 5-year period. And it even got to a point where I said, God, if you're not going to heal me from all of these, Lord, take me home to be with you. Because it had gotten rough. And you know, my dear wife, my wife Debbie right here, all during that time, she was being partially retired at work. She's a consultant with CSRA Research in Deering, and she teaches teachers, and she will be retiring for good in June the 30th. But she looked out for me. I mean, she looked out for me all during that 5 years. And when the final disease was healed, God, just up there, they say polycythemia is not healable. Polycythemia is something that once you have it your whole life. Polycythemia is cancer of the blood. And that's where you got too much blood and too much iron. Polycythemia killed her dad. Now, you're talking about Satan trying to harass. The day I called her up and I said, I found out why my face is red as I don't know what, and I found out why my blood pressure is out the roof, I've got polycythemia. She said, oh, no, not that, not that. Because her dad died from that. See, and what happens, that blood, there's so much blood in your veins that your pressure's going to go up because it doesn't have that much room for the blood to flow through there. So I sat down in here a year ago, and the best I could, I told about every disease and how God had healed every disease but the polycythemia. But God has healed the polycythemia now. You can't sleep at night with polycythemia. You feel like your legs are rubber, and you have no strength whatsoever. My first 5 years of retirement, I retired at 60, 60 to 65. That's what I went through. I tell you right now, I feel so good having gone through that and having been healed that I can stand in front of you. It makes me appreciate health that much more. You know, health is a wonderful gift from God, and it's made me more and more determined. God's given me a gift of healing, and it's made me more and more determined to heal, to go forth and pray in Jesus' name and see the enemy defeated when it comes to disease and sickness and infirmity. I asked God this week. I was looking. I took a day, I think Tuesday, and I was looking over. You know how you get there and you get to looking at scriptures? All of them got to do with the new man. And I started looking, and I spent all day looking at it. And I get there, and I think, well, I'm prepared with these. God put them together. And then all of a sudden, God started downloading. You know, he started downloading it, giving me what to say sequentially. And he said, Tom, I want you to share and give a testimony of where you've been and where you're going. Because that's what the new man is all about. You know, we were in darkness, but God has saved us into his glorious light. And he's given us life, even life everlasting, eternal life. And he's prepared a place for us that nobody can take away. You know, we've got something to be excited about. So I got there and God laid it out. And then yesterday morning came. Before I ever got up, I had somebody come visit me named Gerd. You ever heard of Gerd? And you know what Gerd does? That is your digestive juices. And see, I got a flapper in here that doesn't have strong springs on it. So it can't hold down that acid. And during the night, and it's been rare, it came right up through here, and it goes over into my left lung, and I run right into asthma and sometimes even bronchitis and pneumonia from that. And I was coughing all day long. And here's what happened. I was told, I said, this year I'm going to be healthy when I speak. And then somebody said, in the spirit now, guess what time it is? I said, what? It's time for the conference. And guess what? You're not going to be healthy. I'm taking care of that right now. Now, here's what happened. When God healed me of those 15 diseases, he said, Tom, I do not want you to go back through that door again, a spiritual door. I don't want you to go back to that, to sickness, infirmity, and disease. So I have been clawing and scratching like a cat. I've been proclaiming and declaring my healing, and I've seen myself get much better. But the enemy wanted to say, I'll stricken you every time. But you know what? I know better, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. God is greater. God's creator of all things. All creator of all good and perfect gifts. All good and perfect gifts come down from above. Sickness comes from hell. Healing comes from heaven. And you know, only reason God allows Satan to do that, he sees where it's going to make us better. You know? So he allows it. And then it's up to us to use it as a learning experience. And when we done walk through it, we ought to be in a position where we can minister in that area. You know, it's a whole lot easier for me to come up there and say, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. God did this for me. Now I'm going to pray for you, because I feel like I'm an authority in that area, you know. But here's what we did. I was getting my strength back. Everything was looking good. And then came July 1st, 2019. My wife, during that afternoon, she had been complaining with something feeling like it was grabbing her in this area. Okay? And she had done started talking. She taught Sunday school that Sunday morning. I preached. We went to the local cafe and ate. And then that afternoon, she starts stuff like this. If I die, go to the grandchildren, tell them this. Go to her children, tell them that. And I thought, uh-oh. I said, do I need to take you to the hospital? No, I don't think this is the real thing. I really don't. Well, later on, we went to bed. And then about 1:35, 1:40, she hollers and says, it's really bad. Now it woke me up. I said, let's go to the hospital. Let's get ready. Let's go to the hospital. So We got ready, went out, got in my car. I was going to drive her to University Hospital in Augusta, Georgia. Well, it got worse. And I said, 911. Got the ambulance there. And I really believe if we had not transported her by ambulance that night, she would not be here today. They gave her a bunch of aspirin that thinned it out. See, she had a 90% blockage on her main artery that's going to her heart. See, but we didn't know all those facts right then. We got her down there. We got her to the hospital, to the emergency room. Spent all night in the emergency room with a bunch of tests. And then we're assigned a room the next morning. And they said, we're going to do a nuclear treadmill test on her. This should take a couple of hours. That was at 9 o'clock. 11 o'clock came. 12 o'clock came. I went out to the nurse. I said, a couple of hours would have been 11. Well, I'll try to find out something for you. 1 o'clock came. 2 o'clock came. I'm in there going crazy and praying in the room. Here's something taking 5 hours that they said would take 2 hours. And they saw something that did not look right from that nuclear treadmill. So then they said, we're going to need to take the next step. We're going to do a heart cath. And I said, well, can we do it today? And they had an opening for a couple of hours later in the afternoon. Went in there. She went in for the heart cath. I ran by S&S cafeteria to get a little food to eat. Came back. The doctor comes in way too early, and he says, well, I've got some good news, and I've got some bad news. The bad news is we've gotten in there, and we can't do anything for as far as a heart catheterization. The good news is we can get another doctor in the morning to do surgery and to open her up and do a bypass. They end up doing a double bypass, and I come to find out they took her heart out of her body and set it down and stopped it from beating and put her on an artificial type deal to keep her alive while they were rerouting her plumbing in there. And then they put the heart back in place and started it back. But you can imagine, I didn't have a clue that she was going to need that. And here I was, my mouth flew wide open, and I thought, oh, that's going to hurt. And to rip her all down through here, and I was feeling for my wife. I was feeling for my wife and the pain that she was going to go through. And you know what? I said to myself, I said to God right there, I said, God, you didn't warn me about this. See, most things, when you're walking close enough to God, God will warn you about it. Let you know something's not right in your spirit, you know. You know, most of the time, at that time, he hadn't done that. So here I was. Okay, all right. But most of the time, I've had funerals that I've preached that a spouse had died suddenly, and you really can't understand that. You really can't sympathize for them until it's actually hits you at home. You know? And there I was. I went home that night knowing she was going to have open heart surgery the next morning. And I sat on my couch. And this is on my couch where I sit down and I spend time with the Lord. Sometimes I just sit there and bask in His presence. You know, I got 2 ears and I got 1 mouth, so I'll try to listen to Him twice as much as I talk to Him. And I learn a whole lot more when I'm being still and I'm listening and I'm hearing His voice. So I just got there for a while and just sat there. And then I said, God, You have called my wife and I to ministry, not just myself. See, here's what had happened. Nancy started telling some of it. God spoke to me and said, I want your wife to preach. Okay? And I said, okay, God, I'll tell her. And then I talked to her about it, and God had already spoke to her about it, okay? And I asked Nancy to come and ordain her. But God has spoken a lot of things into my life for my wife. See, I had come close to dying several times. My mother, we were in St. Joseph Hospital, and I was there. Mom was there. I wasn't born yet. I was trying to be born. And my grandmother had a dream during the night. And she saw, and God showed her, and he told her, both Tom and Moselle, my mother's name's Moselle, both of them are going to die if you don't stand in the gap for them. She got on the side of her bed, knelt down, and prayed until God gave her peace about it. You know, when God tells you something, and then you pray until you pray through, until you get the peace of God that passes all understanding. Because here's something about it. Satan can't duplicate God's peace. That way you can tell for sure that's God speaking to you and not the devil. Because, you know, that's voices coming from both. I was hearing voices, yeah, you're going to be sick. You're going to show this to them from a chair again this year. And I said, no way. No way. That was going on yesterday, you know. But God intervened. I was born. My mother was fine. Later on, there was other times. There was a time when I was riding during my teenage years with a friend of mine from Lincolnton to Warrington, Georgia. Warren County versus Lincoln County in football. And I'm riding with him, and I was riding shotgun. And he starts passing, going up a hill at night. Oh, no. And we got up to the top of that hill, and here's this big old transfer truck, headlights right in there, and they were right on me. And he went off the road, dodging paper tubes and mailboxes and all like that. And here I was, hanging on for dear life. Well, see, I was rebelling during that time. But let me tell you something that got my attention. I got home later on that night. Oh, grace of God spared us. Grace of God spared you many times in your life. And he did it for a reason. And you're going to follow up, and you're going to be true to the end, to the very end. And your prayers brought him through. The Lord was speaking to me that whole time that her prayers, oh my goodness, brought you through situation after situation after situation to make you who you are today. And God's got even greater plans from here on out. Even greater plans. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. But I got home in my rebellious state, went in, and Mama said, Tom, I need to share something with you. And I said, well, what is it, Mom? She said, your daddy had a vision. And your daddy saw you with blood all over your face. You'd been in an automobile accident. And he prayed until God gave him peace. And then he went to sleep. He's in there sleep now. Did you have an incident tonight? Yes, ma'am. Had a near-death incident tonight, Lord, you know. But by the grace of God, that makes me want to be stand attention to God. If any of you or anybody. Now, sometimes things, and we don't understand it, but sometimes things happen anyway. And I don't understand it. I've got friends that it's happened to. And it's tough once it's happened. It's tough. But, you know, I've grown more and more to learn how fine a son that this couple has that lost his. It ripped my heart open that night when I heard the news. Your son. It ripped my heart open. But you know what? He is having the time of his life. Right now, he is having the time of his life in glory, and glory is where we're all headed to. But that don't help mom and dad and family that are left here. That's not. And I tell you what, I want y'all to to pray for him every day. Put him on your prayer list. Put his wife on your prayer list. That is a horrible loss. It's when that loss is experienced by you. It's very personal when you experience it. But that night, what I did, I said, God, God, you call Debbie and I together to minister. I can't do it by myself. I can't do the things you called me to do between now and when you come back. I can't do it on my own. I said, please. I just got to the point where I said, please, God. Because here's the thing about it. I had poured everything in her life. She's my best friend. And I poured everything in her life, and she had poured everything in my life. And she'd been so good to me, especially the 5 years prior to that, with all that sickness and disease. She'd go the extra mile, do the extra work and all like that. And it just wasn't no way. I looked at that house and I said, this is a mighty big house for one person to be in. And then she's got a little toy poodle. Now, she's going to spoil that toy poodle, and I could see me trying to take care of that toy poodle, you know, and be the mommy that she wouldn't have, the toy poodle wouldn't have anymore. You know, God was merciful. He was merciful. She's had several instances, close calls with death. She had cancer, breast cancer, where you could actually feel the knot up there. And we went to the Methodist Church during that time and went and we had a prayer group during 12 o'clock every Wednesday. And they had me lay my hand there and then the rest of them laid their hands there. And we prayed and no knot anymore. No, not. And we went, and because we had two different hospitals that had taken the x-rays. It was radiating fingers. That's what it was. It was cancer. And what I did, we went to the specialist, and he saw those x-rays. And he looked, and he turned her every which way but loose and couldn't find it. And we said, hey, what's the problem? Well, it's right here. It's on the x-ray. I'm just looking in the wrong place. You know, and then we started laughing because God had healed her. We knew God had healed. And he had her coming back every 6 months that was about 20 years ago. Had her coming back about every 6 months. But to talk to you about the kind of wife that I had, my dad, I'm a person that the cars that I drive, I get them okay with God. The house that I'm in, I've got a story behind it. That we live in. Everything about my life is centered in God. I want His directions. I want His okay before I step out and do anything. And you know what? When you get in your life where you're the new man, so say, when you done turned everything over to Him and all like that, the word says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And believe me, God will direct your paths if you give it all to him. You give it to him. God, I'm sold out to you in everything. Nothing's important to me anymore. Because, you know, we were talking, Nancy said the other night, she feels like within 10 years, the Lord's coming back. Now listen, that stuff that's eternal that the world is ignoring, and they're trying to build up their barns and their houses and everything else, build it up with all the money that they can, and they're building up things that are temporal, that are just here for a season. And that's why their hearts are going to start failing them when the calamity starts coming, because God's allowed it through His judgment. And that calamity comes and they start losing things that they've had faith in the whole time. See, we on Christ, the solid rock, we stand all over the ground. It's sinking sand. We're standing on the solid rock. You know, who says I am the same yesterday, today, and forever? My word is truth. And it's not just like we hear things. We hear false news. I'm so tired of false news. I'm so tired of wondering what's really going on. You know, it's just, it's something. But we can open the Word of God, and there's no falseness, no falsity to it. It's true. It's right on. It's on task, you know, and God will direct us. And you know what? It's worth investing your future in God. It's worth investing everything you've got in God, your life, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence, daily live. I surrender all, all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. God, out of His mercy, answered my prayer. He answered my prayer. And I am so grateful. I am so grateful the timing of it was when it was, that I could get over my sickness so that I could be nursemaid. Because listen, you don't get over that overnight. She's still handshaking, brain fog, hair falling out. And this, let's see, what's that, 6 months later? That's 6 months later. They say she may go 1 year or 2 years recuperating. They say. But God's Word says differently. God's Word says differently. And look, add her to your prayer list, please. Because I tell you what, that's quite a challenge. Quite a challenge. Quite a challenge. My dad was walking by one day, and it's this little building there in Lincolnton, and it's the Board of Education, used to be during that time. And God spoke to him as he walked by and said, I've got a lot in the family line of things where God really speaks, God really works, God really moves, God really guides. And my dad is no exception to it. That was his mother who had had the vision about me and my mom. And so my dad's walking by there on his walk one day, goes by that building, and God says, without a change, Tom's going to burn out before he reaches 40. Holy Spirit spoke to him and told him that. And he told me about it. He said, God's got that job for you there. I was down at Boar Brick in Augusta, Mary Brick Companies, Boar Brick. I was a senior accountant with them. And they had bought so many companies so fast, east of the Mississippi, and then they were going west of the Mississippi, that it was piled up on us accountants. And I would come in and I'd be done just spent my brain all day long, to when I got home 1 hour away, I had to hit the couch. I had nothing left. Done gave everything to the job. Nothing left whatsoever. So that job came open and I got it. And one day I was there in my office in that job, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I want your wife to work in the school system. And I said, okay, God, all right. And I said, what do you want her to be, a parapro? And he said, no, I want her to teach. I want her to go to college and get her teaching degree, and I want her to teach. So I went home that night, and I said, listen, God told me this today. He told me He wants you to teach. And she accepted it fully. Before that, she had thought about being a nurse and all like that. But, you know, all during our lives, being so dependent on the Lord and His direction, it kind of made us a whole lot closer, you know. And together we moved into our jobs and into our house, something that blessed my heart so much. We have found a house that we thought would be economical for us. It was a fixer-upper before we got the house that we got now. We've been in the house we got now since 1983. And that fixer-upper, the man who owned the property, I called him up, and before that, I put a fleece out like Gideon. Are y'all familiar with Gideon? I put a fleece out like Gideon. And I said, God, if you will, speak to my dad and give him a figure what I should pay for that house. Okay, pretty easy thing. So I asked Dad. Dad was at my house visiting. I said, well, you know where such and such a house is? Kind of a fixer-upper house. What do you think that house is worth? And he said, I don't think anybody should give for over $17,000 for that house. All right, there's my fleece. Dad didn't know anything about it, but I had a little deal worked out with God. Well, then I call. His name's Tammich Reed. Miss Tammich, I see you got a house for sale. What's it going to take to buy that house? He said, $19,000. And I thought, why don't I meet him halfway with the price that God gave my dad and the price that he wants? That would be okay. I said, I'll give you $18,000 for it. Okay, Tom, you got a deal then. You got a deal. Next day, my dad comes by. He said, you know, Tom, I am troubled in my spirit. He said, God says that you have done something that you're going to have to undo. He's very upset with you. And I'm there, oh, man, I don't want to have to call that man back. And I told Dad what it was. I said, I put a fleece out from the Lord and asked the Lord to give you a price. And now I've done went and added $1,000 to that fleece. See, I should have went with $17,000. No more. No more. So I had to call that. He said, you know what you got to do? I said, I know. I got to call him back and take my offer back. Ooh, you talking about it. Humiliating. Oh man, that was not easy at all. But I called him back. I took the offer back. And then 6 months later, God brought this beautiful two-story redwood house where it was available. Okay? I said, God, tell me directly, what should I pay for it? And God told me just as clear, $65,000. $65,000. So we went there and we looked at it. Loved it. Debbie loved it. It's what she wanted. We're living it today now. But look, we went there and I said, how much are you going to have to take for it? I said, no. I said, I'll give you $65,000 for it. Well, Tom, and this is my school teacher. He had taught me in school, whipped me with three holes in the paddle. Made me get over, bam, bam, bam. I remember on the way to the PE class, my buttocks was just stinging like I don't know what. Oh, goodness. He said, give us a little time to think about it. He wanted more than 65. He wanted 69.5, okay? But my mom and dad lived then two houses up. So we'd be up there at Mom and Daddy's, and we see cars driving up and people going in and looking at the house. And then we see another group of people. Come to find out there were 25 couples that went and looked at that house while they were, before they accepted our offer. And I would walk the road. I'd walk the road in front of that house and around because I'd be so nervous, and I wasn't about to back off $65,000. I done learned my lesson, and I wasn't going to make another mistake. God done showed me. You know, I wasn't about to go have to call Kermit up and tell him, listen, I'm going to have to withdraw that offer if it's too high. 25 people came to me after we bought it, and they said, you don't know how close we came to buying that house, but the timing just wasn't right. It just wasn't right. God had that our name on that house, and nobody else got it, and I was obedient this time to stick with the price. So we go and get a phone call. You can have that house for $65,000. And that's the house we've been in since 1983. You can trust God. He cares. He even cares about God. God keeps up with the hairs that I'm losing on my head. These bald heads like this. I used to let that bald head bother me until I went north of Atlanta to the hair club and got an estimate on what it would cost to take hair from here to put it here. And they said, no, we're not going to be able to cover everything, but it's going to be $25,000, not a penny less. And I thought, I am not paying $25,000 for not having hair, because it bothered me to start with. But then you get to a point, at least I got to a point, It's what's on the inside that counts. It's not what's on the outside. God looks in the heart. You know, and if I can just let God just take my heart and give me a heart after him and just put his love and his care and his concern and his spirit within me, didn't matter if I had a bald head. You know what? I can preach the gospel and it won't matter if I had a full head of hair or a bald head. So I just thank God I've got a bald head, you know, because it's his goodness and it's his grace. And I got it from both sides of my family, so I got a double dip in the area that I wasn't but double portions. I wasn't going to have no hair. But it's a few verses here that I just wanted to go through. One thing that happened, and it happened recently, New Year's Day. New Year's Day, I was still in the bed. And I had a dream, and I woke up, and it was a very vivid dream. And Debbie was pregnant, and I told her in the dream, I said, we better hurry up and get you to the dock. And the Lord, and I woke up, and I said, Lord, what did that mean? He said, I have impregnated both of you. You're pregnant with what I'm fixing to call you into. And I thought, praise the Lord. Because see, we were both sick. We were sick New Year's Eve. We were taking up both restrooms at the house all the way up to midnight, just sick as I don't know what. And once 2020 came, gone. And didn't have any more problem with it. 2020, I believe for great things in 2020. I really am. And I thank God that we are alive and well and that we belong to him and that our future's been taken care of and that he's watching over us and that he desires to use us in ministry. It's a special pleasure that he would use us in ministry. You know, I go and I get to think, God, just how much difference would I make? And would she make? Well, what if the disciples had said that? I just, you know, Peter, James, and John, what if they'd have said, how much a difference am I going to make? Just one person. But just look what the 12 disciples and what difference they made. People still talking about them. Their books written after them and by them. You know, every one of us is important to God. Everyone, and every prayer that we pray, every time we witness for the Lord, and if we'll leave ourselves open, he'll direct our paths, he'll prepare the people around us, and we're just to be there to tell them what we're in. We're just to share our testimony.
That's right.
You know what? That testimony is personal.
Right.
It belongs to us. No one else has that testimony, and believe me, it moves other people because they think, my goodness, to look at them, I thought they had no problems, and to look at them, and they're depending on the Lord, and the Lord has brought them through over and over and over and over again. You melt the hearts of the people, and I'll melt the hearts of the people with our testimony. In Revelation 11:11, it says, and they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Wow. I want my testimony to make a difference. You've heard a little testimony today. And this is what the Lord told me to share. Share the testimony. Share the testimony. And I got a few scriptures that I want to kind of highlight here. And they're all found in Ephesians. And I just want you to just let them sink into you and excite you. One of them is Ephesians 2:6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So our spirit man is sitting in heavenly places. Our physical man is right here, but we're seated in the Spirit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Word says so. Verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wow, that is awesome. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me tell you, share something with you. I never do get out from preaching a sermon. My wife makes sure my corners of my mouth are clean, because that cough drops, they help me to stay where I'm not dry in my throat. So I can sing and I can preach and all like that. But here's one thing about it. I can never, after I preach a sermon, I can never gloat over it. Because I go in there and I preach what I hear the Holy Spirit give me. And the thing about it, it's such a transaction. It's such a flow. It's coming in here and going out here. And it's going and going. And sometimes the Holy Spirit gets to speaking so fast on a Sunday morning that I have trouble keeping up with Him. And oftentimes He's speaking things that I have hid in my heart, that I have studied, but He goes and wraps it all up into a nice sermon. And then He puts it out through here. And then those seeds are planted, ready to be tilled, ready to be watered, ready to bring increase, and ready to bring fruit. But I can't take any credit. So I don't leave with a big head anymore. I used to have a big head when I was singing at funerals. And the anointing of God was all over my voice. And I saw people crying and being touched by God, you know. And I started getting a big head. I thought, all I got to do is go up there and sing, you know. Then all of a sudden, guess what happened, John? No anointing. I got up there and I was singing. It was like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It didn't touch nobody, especially it didn't touch me. So when I got home, I said, God, I will never take credit for my singing again, because it's You singing through me. It's Your anointing that destroys the yoke as I sing. So I won't take no credit. And it's the same way with my sermons. Not I, but Him. You know? And if we get to the point where it's all Him and not us. Mark Blankenbeckler has spoke about 3 years ago on being zero. We're zero, and He's everything. We got to get to the point where we're zero, 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 and it's all Him. And we'll be successful. People's lives will be changed. People will get turned around. It's like if you're heading toward Atlanta and you get saved and you turn around and you're headed back toward Augusta the opposite way. Turn lives around. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. Only a yielded vessel can bring that to be. You know, sometimes we try too hard. A year ago I told Mark, I heard you speaking, oh, it was so powerful. And I knew that I couldn't even stand up and speak. You know, Mark's the one who spoke this morning, knowing all those scriptures and all. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing I can put the street address with it, you know. I know scriptures, but you know, I can't put a street address with a lot of them. I know what John 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world. But and I know a lot of them, but not like Mark. Not like Mark. But I said a year ago, I told Mark, you're sounding so good and you're talking all of that. I don't even have the energy to stand up to speak. I told him that a year ago. And God blessed my efforts. I didn't have a whole lot of forcefulness and all like that. And I think I cried about halfway through it because of his presence. You know, y'all saw me crying when I was talking to y'all. I'll feel the presence of the Lord come over me, and then here comes the tears. Nancy told me, she said, "You're like another Jeremiah, aren't you? The weeping prophet, you know?" And really, you get there and you think, "Why am I crying? God, why do you want me to cry like this?" But see, a lot of that crying has got to do with humility and bowing down to his lordship and bowing down to his authority. And that's what it's all about. Because we're going to go through eternity worshiping him and praising him. Your best moments in praise and worship here can't touch what heaven's going to be like. Can't touch it. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that the Lord has prepared for them that love him. When I get a touch of his presence and his anointing, I say, "Oh my goodness, I can't wait to get to heaven. This is so good." And I know this can't compare to what heaven is. Heaven on earth is wonderful. And it lets you know what's just ahead. Just ahead. We've got so much to be thankful for and so much to rejoice over. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. I may have had one more. Now here's a few more in Ephesians. Ephesians 4:1. "Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Walk worthy. Verse 17. "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." See, the mind is enmity against God. And that's what we got to do. We got to get our minds under control. Because the greatest drawback to walking in the new man is the mind. The mind. Satan attacks by putting a thought in the mind. See, they say that lust is brought forth and it leads to sin. And when sin has run its course, it brings forth death. So Satan don't go and download a lot of things in there, but when he starts shooting them arrows, that's why we got the helmet of salvation. That's quite why we got the shield of faith. It's to those fire darts of the enemy to keep them. And you know it as well as I do. If Satan can put a thought in your mind, and you get there and you start dwelling on it a little bit, that's going to magnify itself and grow and grow. And before you know it, he's got you thinking wrong and doing wrong. See, because the mind, the heart, we've got a new heart in Christ. We're the new man in Christ. But the mind has got to be transformed. By the renewing of the mind, by reading the Word of God, spending time with the Lord, praying, just meditating upon Him to take care of that mind. That mind will always be contrary to the heart. I'd rather have heart knowledge any day than to have mind knowledge. You know? Let me see. I had a couple of more. And 4:23, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." 24, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Now we learned about some holiness, those that were in Mark's time. All right, last two, it's verse 23 of Ephesians 4. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." In verse 24, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Now, Mark was speaking earlier. And he was talking about how we look at holiness. And you know, we try to be holy. Remember, he said we try to be holy. And we were holy for a little while and then we fail and all like that. But true holiness is a declaration from God himself that declares that we are holy if we're in Christ Jesus. So it's not something that we're trying to attain. We're not trying to attain holiness. God says we are holy as he is holy. That's a promise. That's it. Not a command, but a promise. Not something to strive for, but something that you are. You know, when the new man comes forth and the old man is put away, we could pretty well do anything we want to do. But the thing about it is, your want to's have changed. You don't want to do the things that the old man did. You know, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And we're new in Christ. And we don't want to do. You know, anybody who's walked with the Lord, they don't want to turn around and walk with the world again. I question anybody that's so-called walking with, have walked with the Lord, and they are not walking with the Lord. You know, I look at it like this. I look at salvation like it's a gift. Christmas time, you get a gift. All right? You can keep that gift and you can possess that gift or you can give that gift back. Same way with salvation. We can keep that gift and nobody can take that gift away from us. But if we give that gift back, that's the way we lose our salvation. You give that gift back and say, Lord, I don't want to be no Christian. Here, take your gift of salvation back. And the word says it's better you never had tasted of his goodness than to taste it and then go back to the world. Better that you never taste it. The new man. Don't you love being the new man? I know I've talked for 45 minutes. Just start praying for them. What do y'all got on your mind? What questions you got? That's the thing you got when you run out, when you get to the end. And, oh, what about questions? What kind of questions do you have? Did that make good sense today? And I hope it's encouraged you in your Christian walk, just like your testimony would encourage us in our Christian walk. You know, they say iron sharpens iron. I love for my iron to sharpen iron, other people's iron, and I love for other people's iron to sharpen my iron. I really do. And I've been truly blessed today. I'm blessed to be with my brothers and sisters in Jesus. I tell you, like-minded people. You know, you can't just walk up to anybody in the world and have a relationship to the depth that we have during these conferences. We understand. We understand each other. We understand the struggles that each one has. We understand the glory that comes when we are obedient.